3, 2, 1.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of The No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Integrated Marketing here at Revive, and I'm joined this morning on this lovely Monday morning by Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy here at Revive. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Ready to get into this. We are going to have a fun mini episode today. We're calling it a short mini episode where we just focus on some of the headlines because there's a lot going on in healthcare. There's always a lot going on. But for some reason right now, I don't know why, it just feels like the world is moving faster than ever before. That's probably going to become a cliche, but there's quite a lot to dig into. Our internal Slack channels have just been popping over the last few weeks. So we thought it might be fun to do a very short episode where we just pull out two or three headlines and talk about the things that have been hottest on our minds, hottest around the water coolers at Revive, the Slack channels at Revive, and dig in on those. So this will be a, you know, 5-6 minute quick little mini appetizer type of podcast. And we'll probably do these on a fairly regular basis as we go forward. So let's jump right in. I'll kick us off with the first headline and then toss it to you, Chris, to talk about what it means. So one of the pieces that's been flying around the channels here and featured in our weekly hash this past week is that Walmart Health has finally announced its first health system partner. So, you know, Walmart Health for a few years now has been focused on building that top of the acuity funnel care, the low price points, the easy to access at your local Walmart, eye care, primary care, screenings, things like that. But we've all been wondering, what happens when someone walks into Walmart and has a heart attack, right? So in Orlando, they have chosen their first health system partner, which is Orlando Health. And so that's really all we know right now, new partner. So tell us, Chris, what do you think this means? Where do you think this could be going?
Well, you know, I mean, I think this goes back to what we've talked about in JP 2030, right? When in, as we've talked about the funnel wars and throughout this podcast, where, you know, there's a variety of different strategies that, you know, healthcare organizations can pursue. How are you thinking about, you know, getting people in for the specialty care that you deliver? A lot of health systems choose to build top of care funnel. Some are choosing to partner, some are choosing both, right? I think what we see here is clearly, you know, Walmart has the need to be able to connect people with the care that they need, not just top of funnel care. And obviously Orlando Health is looking for the opportunity to drive that, you know, that specialty care that they're probably also looking at for their health system. I think, you know, the watchword is, look, there's no one right strategy. And in fact, some might choose both. The question just becomes, and I think what we, you know, our point of view is, where is the consumer relationship, right? And how are you thinking about the consumer relationship and where you're playing and how does that fit your long-term strategy? So that's what I think is, you know, just coming to play all over. This is Orlando Health, but we see it. You mentioned Slack channels popping. You know, this kind of stuff is happening daily, right?
It is. It's happening daily, and there are more and more partnerships being formed. And the reason why, you know, this is a Orlando market thing is because Walmart Health has opened the majority of their locations across Arkansas, Florida, Illinois, Texas, but especially in Florida. And so that Orlando partner makes sense. But to your point, Chris, you know, that's not the right thing in every market by any means. Partnership may not be the right thing for all health systems or for all retailers. So, you know, this makes sense here, perhaps. One other little note that I found interesting was both organizations are using Epic, and they called that out, you know, just to call out the integration of patient data there. So maybe speaking of, maybe that pops us over to our second headline. So AI everywhere Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's trying to figure it out. Every platform, including Epic, is leveraging AI in new ways. But tell us, Chris, about the headline that caught our eye this past week.
So what caught our eye is that first of all, our eye is going everywhere because there is so much going on in this space. But one thing that really caught our eye was Accenture and Salesforce partnering to bring, you know, cloud-based Gen AI solutions to healthcare. And that also includes pharma, right? So I think what we're continuing to see is, you know, the holy grail has really been patient engagement, right? And we've all been trying to figure out how do we better engage patients? And CRM has taken front and center for all of us. Well, the promise of Gen AI is that it's really going to make that a whole lot easier. And, you know, how are we really going to be smart about leveraging what we know about consumers to take it to the next step without the kind of full on, you know, kind of assault of how do we identify audiences and how do we, you know, how do we make sense of what they need? And then how do we engage them when we know they need something? This whole thing has the promise to become easier in the CRM world.
Yes. And it's really interesting because we've already seen Salesforce start to bring in AI into its platform. This is the next version of that in the health space. We're seeing so many platforms bring in AI, which makes perfect sense because it's a simpler way to roll out tools that are very user-friendly. So, you know, certainly, and this is not a Revive only prediction, right? That AI is going to really change how we do our work, how every single job, every single role does its work, which was another piece that caught our eye, which was a piece from the Harvard Business Review about how generative AI will transform knowledge work. So this was really, really, it made my heart beat fast, and I think yours too, Chris, because I think both of us are pretty excited about the opportunities of generative AI, and there are still some, you know, out there saying, but won't it take our jobs? What's going to happen? And there's a really interesting couple pieces in this piece that says that the crush of information is creating a digital debt, right? We all walk around with this constant, it uses the words, backlog of information that knowledge workers are just trying to get our arms around. I mean, kind of to the reason of why we're even doing these mini episodes in the first place. There's just so much happening, so much to process. And so generative AI is a solution to that, which allows knowledge workers to have this sort of all-knowing, omnipresent assistant next to them. And then you think about that added into every platform, Salesforce and Adobe Creative Suite and, you know, Google search engines, and that assistant becomes everywhere. But that's just kind of a highlight of, I guess, what this article meant to me. Chris, you dug deeply into it. What are some interesting things to you when you saw the kind of headline of how Gen AI will transform knowledge work?
I think what made me also excited, Stephanie, was just the idea that, you know, there's all this hype out there. It's going to replace us and it's going to replace us. And, you know, we're all going to be machines and those crazy images you see on the line of half human, half machine, Terminator-like stuff. And I think it's really ominous. And I also think it's really wrong. I think what AI has the power to do is not just make us better at what we do, because it can synthesize things and help us in ways that we are unable to do because of, as you mentioned, the sheer volume. It allows us to move our humanity in the world of our profession. It allows us to move our marketing brains higher upstream. It doesn't mean it's going to entirely replace some of those things. I mean, you still need a human lens on it, but I think it allows us to really kind of do the things, you know, we always say right person, right time, you know, right message. And that's real easy to say, easy say, hard do. And we've been saying that for years in this industry. And I think what it does is it takes a lot of the intense analysis and understanding that we have just to be able to get to what is the right message for the right person at the right time. And it allows us to kind of get to the thinking part of that quicker. That is my hope. And that is, you know, my hope not only as a marketer, but as a consumer, that those who engage with me, particularly around topics like health, can be smarter when they're doing it.
Yeah, this quote from the HBR piece I also found fascinating. It said the 68% of workers in a recent Microsoft survey said they don't have enough uninterrupted time to focus on their core activities. Why? Because emails, Slacks, text messages, searching for stuff, trying to find stuff, trying to look for answers, doing research. And so to your point, what we all crave, I think, we crave thinking time, we crave creativity time, we crave the time when we come up with big, bold ideas. That is what knowledge work is all about. That is certainly what marketing is all about. And so having, you know, something that kind of can handle a lot of the details is incredible. So yes, I think the promise is huge. The hope and the dream is huge. And again, back to the piece before this, that's why every platform is integrating AI in so that they can roll out these new user-friendly features that just crunch data at a faster level. So I'm still excited about the future, even though Elon Musk, you know, is going out on stage last week and saying we need an off switch and all kinds of things. I know those warnings are still out there, and I think it's really important to really, you know, make sure that we're building this in a responsible way. But some of it, I agree with you, Chris. It's there's a lot of hype happening.
Brave new worlds for us to explore.
Right. We love it. We love a brave new world. Okay. Well, we're going to end here or else we won't abide by our short promise. So with that, you know, we hope to do these on a somewhat regular basis just to dig into a few of the headlines in a very quick way. But let's wrap up for now. So Chris, thank you so much for joining and for being here.
Thank you. And let's do this again on a Monday because this is a way to get my Monday blood flowing. Love it. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, 0 to 60 on a Monday morning. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, if there's a headline that caught your eye, if there's a take that you have, a hot take, we would love to hear it. Shoot us a note at nonormal@reviveagency.com and share the show with your friends and colleagues. And until next time, don't be satisfied with the normal. No, with the normal. Wow, lots of no normals. Don't be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal and let's all build this future together. So we'll see you all next time. 3, 2, 1.